Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
a molecular tour of Dettol. D-E-T-T-O-L. This is an antiseptic chemical that's freely available, relatively safe, unless you're a cat or a cane toad, Dettol. So if you basically have got a cane toad and you want to get rid of it, you go out and squirt a Dettol on it, and apparently it dies relatively quickly. And a cat also, if you want to get rid of a cat, you squirt Dettol on it, it will lick it off and promptly not be a cat anymore. However, if you've got a disease or a scrape or a cut, one of the various barriers, I think there are four barriers or three barriers, physical barrier, chemical barrier, and biological barrier for diseases getting into you. If you have a scratch, it creates a way for bacteria. There's thousands of bacteria. So the bacteria, single cell, very primitive, very small living organisms, and they don't have they have a sort of a woody outer container, fixed solid outer container. They have little sometimes legs or whips at the back so they can move around the place if they really want to. And they sit there, and what they do is they excrete chemicals and start to dissolve the flesh around them to have a good munch on you. So there's, at any one point, you've got a huge number of bacteria on your body just munching away, and you have a physical skin barrier which is putting out chemicals, either acids, slight bases and oils and stuff like that, and the bacteria can live for a certain amount. And I suppose the other thing is that you have got good and bad bacteria, so your body actually encourages the growth of certain bacteria because over time they've become good and helpful, whereas bad bacteria are dangerous. And so a lot of bad bacteria are dangerous, are good on the outside, but dangerous when they get to the inside. So you have this problem that you have a graze, you want to apply a chemical to it which will knock out bacteria, and this is what Dettol does. This is a very simple mass-produced product, I suppose a petroleum product, which people used to have. I don't think it's as common now. They've got some other chemicals, but it's a very cheap chemical, mass-produced, that throughout the world can actually convert a graze from something which is life-threatening and something which is better. So the actual practice of attending to a graze and dressing and cleaning up a graze or a wound is an important part of healthcare, as recognised by the World Health Organization. So what is Dettol and why is it important? My initial podcast on Dettol was really focused on someone making a claim that Dettol was an acid, concentrated as an acid, and my consternation that I had the quantum theory to visualise it, I could see it wasn't an acid, check it out that it wasn't, and then this frustration that I could say it was an acid, I could prove it was an acid, I could provide the documentation of it, yet these people had become committed to the belief that it was acidic and dangerous as hydrochloric acid. You could actually throw Dettol in a person's face and disfigure them for life, is a belief. And would they listen to anything? No. Someone had told them in the back, everyone knew it. So I got rather sort of oomphed by this, you know, what's going on here? And the big question is, what is going on here? Well, you know, we have to actually get on top of it. And the understanding of the use of not information poor information, that is to build knowledge, information to build social structures. They were using this to prove that their husband was negligent in causing an acid burn on the child with Dettol. And ipso facto, similar, I was negligent by exercising for too long. You know, too strong acid, too long training, therefore, what do we have to say? And the important thing was the personal attack had to come through. And, of course, here I'm sort of picking up the pieces and saying, hey, this isn't go up. So let's look at Dettol itself. Dettol is basically got an organic chemical backbone. It's not really a backbone, it's more like a ring, a six-membered carbon ring. So if you can imagine, you've got beads which can dangle six in a row, you link them up and it forms a fairly tight circle, like a little brooch. You can throw it like a coin. In general, the six carbon ring becomes less flexible if you, for each carbon has four bonds, therefore a bond within the ring, two bonds within the ring, two bonds for hydrogen. If you remove one of those hydrogens, and mean that on average there's really 1.5 bonds per ring going through, you create something called benzene, an aromatic compound. It's hexagon with a circle in it typically, or with every second bond between atoms 1 and 2 3 and 4, 5 and 6. That might be it. 5 and 6, yeah. Doesn't really matter. You can draw it that way. The important thing is that as you remove hydrogens, a hydrogen is bonded when it shares an electron with the carbon ring. So if you remove a hydrogen, that electron pops back into the circular ring. And this means that you have a compound of carbon with too few hydrogens and too many electrons. And the many electrons create a sandwich, a sea of electrons above and below the ring. And this actually converts the carbon ring into something which is a little bit metallic. You used to create these rings all together. You create a graphene sheet and you have something which actually conducts electricity and energy quite well. Now, this metal conductor, small as it is a form of an antenna. This is an antenna not for radio waves, but for light waves. So absorbers in the red, and so your betadine is red because of this benzene property. Benzene itself is clear, but as you play with this ring, you can actually tune it to see red line. Better be, keep going. This is good that doing this here. Now with this benzene, we can start to add atoms to it to convert your benzene. Now you can go many different ways. You can make TNT, which is trinitrotoluene, or you can make this hexo something or other, Dettol molecule. So we're going to start numbering our atoms. We're going to lay the hexagon with the pointy bit into our chest and the pointy bit away, the flat sides either side. So you can imagine you can hold it flat and poke the hexagon into your chest and then poke the hexagon into the person standing in front of you, the cue. Quite antisocial way of holding it. And the carbon at the very top of the apex is 1, 2, 3, 4 at your stomach, 5, and 6 is the left one as it's just before the apex. So on hydrogen, on that nitrogen correction, carbon number 1, you plug off a hydrogen and stick on a chlorine. Now, this is an interesting thing because chlorine is got a higher electronegativity and electrode affinity. That is, that when you feed it a hydrogen, feed it an electron, a chlorine plus a negative electron is actually more stable than a normal chlorine. This goes flies in the face of all this folk chemistry. Now, essentially, if you have a whole heap of folk chemistry and a whole heap of folk science, then you're leaving the door open for these folk people to come in and say, no one knows. Well, we know, because we've got supercomputers, we've got quantum mechanics, we can lay down the law. That's the chlorine at number one. At number two and number six, either side, remove a hydrogen and add it on a methyl group, which is a methane with a hydrogen removed, and those two click together. So these two are sort of like little taps. So you've got a little jewel of chlorine at the top, really sucking in the electrons, blowing the electrons up. So if you can imagine, it will thin the electron sandwiches on above and below the aromatic compound in. And these chlorines will act, methyl groups will act to, as a bit to hold back the electron cloud a bit, make it a bit unusual. These methyl groups can actually rotate a little bit, but it's a bit clunky. So if you can imagine being able to hold that, those three hydrogens on the end of that methyl group, rotate it around, you can imagine it's around them. So it's vibration and creates a whole of aspects of it. Now towards you at the atom number 4, which is the one going to your tummy, you take a hydrogen off, you get a water, remove hydrogen from that, and click it together and have an OH. So that's any compound with any carbon compound with an OH sticking off it is called an alcohol. So detol is a form, a complicated form of halogenated phenol alcohol. There you go. Phenol is anything which has got an aromatic compound with it. So that's what's called detol. Now, there's a whole heap of things that if the alcohol carbon has an oxygen on it, the actual electron drawing power of the oxygen is such that it will pull the electron away off the hydrogen to make a COO minus, and that pulling the electron off in another way is creating a hydrogen ion and makes it acidic. But the detol doesn't have an oxygen on it. It's got a chlorine a long way away and a big sea of electrons pushing up. And the sea of electrons pushing up makes it slightly basic. That is, far from being the acid that this witless husband was accused of causing an acid burn, it's slightly basic. It actually got the pH very close to skin anyway. So you couldn't cause an acid burn with it, and therefore the person doing harm in this situation is the person with the folk knowledge who's going through and applying it. Going through with this is sort of the understanding of what an acid is. An acid is, there's three different ways. The Arrhenius way, which is the early high school way of talking about acid. An acid produces an H+. The acid is defined as something which very H+, and a base is OH-, or something which has got too many electrons in it. So your acid, the electrons are there, but they're stored away. It's going up to the very highest level. So an acid is H+. Another way of saying it is an acid is something which donates a hydrogen ion. That's the Arrhenius, Larry Brownstein, second level. And so the hydrogen ion is donated. So if your detol wanted to be a detol without an H and a minus and push off the H plus into the world to go in its way, that would be an acid. But the H, when the H is added, when it's got the H, when it wants to draw the hydrogen in, it's a base. And you could actually draw two hydrogens in if it was really do, and be diethyl with the hydroxide and another hydrogen. It's slightly on that end of the spectrum. And so that's for Larry Brown, Bronsted. Now, of course, the way this is called structure in the fragment, where it goes across, Larry Brownstead, Larry Bronsted, acid and bases take an overview of concentrations and species, competing species, acid, something is in a, in an environment, something is the acid, something is the base, and the chemical reaction goes such that the acid and base change role. So Larry Brownstead is a higher level of acid and base. Now, I would expect that the person saying that diethyl was an acid wouldn't be aware, perhaps the first one wouldn't care, and of course their answer for not knowing is they're on the attack, putting people down. So if they don't know, the way that they know is that someone told me, there's authority. If you're trying to contradict me, you don't have authority. And so what happens is that in the meantime, while you try and comment on it, they just step up the attack and then walk away. So they're not the wise, but let us go up to the next level of acid and base. Another way of looking at a acid or a base. A base is something which has got heaps of electrons out there. So the electrons are balanced, but within the quantum mechanics of what's going on, the actual way the electrons sit within the material, it tends to throw off the electrons into the material. Another way is that it tends to draw electrons in, it creates hydrogen ions. This is the Lewis acid base theory. So chlorine and oxygen have quantum mechanical holes in them where you can see positive charge. You rotate them at a certain angle and they appear positive from the angle at close range. And you can then pop in an electron at close range and a Cl minus or an O double minus are the most stable forms. That is that the electron is not at the lowest state free, it's the lowest state sitting inside. And this is really the basis of all chemistry. So those two things create bases. So hydrogen sulfide or sulfuric acid, hydrochloric acid, all produce bases. So produce acids. Scrap that. It's produce acids because they're electron poor and hydrogen plus rich. They're hydrogen plus rich because the electrons are now hiding inside the Lewis acid. Conversely, if I throw a metal like sodium into water, sodium is electron rich and its electrons go into water and make it basic. So if I throw sodium in water or magnesium in acid, magnesium will neutralize the acid as hydrogen bubbles off. That is, it's electron-rich, so electron-rich that the hydrogen in the water decides that it prefers taking these electrons off, and the hydrogen bubbles up. And so anything which is electron-rich tends to go there. So in this sense, the metallic nature of a basic phenol aromatic disc with too many electrons in it, a chlorine pulls off an electron, so it's not completely rich, but the additional electrons are there and push forward and mean that you, in no circumstances, will be able to take the hydrogen off it. And so, one enlisted to this thing initially, you know, one head you're saying, what is the structure going ahead? There's this folk knowledge, where people are coming in and, it's a bit like a Pearl Harbor. They come in, drop bombs, fly off, hope, you know, fly beneath the radar and fly in, fly out. But on the other side, you're actually looking at what's going on and you're saying, is Dettol an acid? I don't think it is an acid. You say it to yourself and you image this up and you do have the scaffold of knowledge of the different forms of acidity, the different conversations. Now, the interesting thing is that if you're speaking to someone and they don't understand the first bit, they've shut the door and they're not going to understand the second and third bit. So they're not going to understand how you can actually see a molecule and actually imagine the electrons on it and see whether it's acid or base or it goes on. And again, from the molecule, you can see how it is coloured and you can sort of see how it operates. So Dettol itself acts for gram-positive bacteria, so it knocks out a lot of bacteria by simply slicing through its outer solid membrane. Now, humans have a lipid membrane around their cells, so you're all soft and squishy. So bacteria crunch, you are soft and squishy, and you basically have a fat bubble and a second fat bubble inside it, so a double lipid layer, and inside that fat bubble is water attractants, so it's water attractants on the outside of the bubble, on the inside of the inside the middle of the surface of the bowl is your fat attractant. So you've got two fats attracted to each other. So you've got a bubble which is a sort of a layer of fat in a surface. So your cell is a bubble of fat with a bubble of water in it. So the bubble of water is so big that the actual amount of fat is compressed to a thin surface membrane. Now, Dettol can't affect the membrane. But it can affect the, it does affect bacteria. It sort of wipes it out quite effectively. So it's a great boon to us. And the important thing is that, that people can experience allergic reactions as they can experience allergic reactions to almost any chemical. But the actual process of that involves the immune system and is, not really to do with chemistry. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.